ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడీమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And yes, it was indeed a fantastic offering to Bhagwan on Aradhana Utsavam day, the last 2 days. Today is April 25th, April 23rd and 24th. Perhaps never before Prashanthi had seen such a celebration. In a way, it was an occasion of deep gratitude. It was an occasion when you had not only the current students but also the students who are working in Bhagwan's institutions in Prashanthi Nilayam and the allied institutions of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, as well as students who are working outside the purview of the Central Trust. So you had alumni from all over coming and joining the current students and the student brothers working in Swami's institutions, collectively making an offering to Bhagwan on Aradhana Day. And if you watched the program last evening, April 24th, you saw Navavidha Bhakti being portrayed, being offered to Bhagwan. And in the last, you had Atma Nivedanam, wherein you had a very big group, probably 90 students of the Vrindavan campus, offering their homage to Bhagwan. And that was the ultimate scene of yesterday's performance. All these students have ensured that their holidays become holidays. They're all there, the final year student, just to be in Prashanthi Nilayam and make the most of every single moment that Bhagwan has given them as being Sai students. And the Vrindavan campus is going to celebrate its 50 years in June 2019. If you've been following this program, we are doing this series on the Vrindavan campus to commemorate this landmark occasion. And we started this series in June 2018, and we shared with you how Bhagwan set up this beautiful space on earth which he called his home, how Swami christened this ashram as Vrindavanam, and how the beautiful love play started between Bhagwan and his devotees, Bhagwan and his students, and how it acquired new hues, new dimensions as years passed by. Some of the icons of the Vrindavan ashram changed. The old bungalow gave way to Trey Vrindavan. The Sai Ram shed now was replaced with the Sai Ram shed. You had the old Kalyana Mandapam now giving room to a new building, which is a very beautifully done Kalyana Mandapam. So you had so many changes happening in Vrindavan, but the only constant thing about Vrindavan was that absolutely love-charged environment that it was always. The Swami in Prashanthi Nilayam and the Swami in Vrindavan were always different. Every devotee who has seen Bhagwan in these two places will vouch for it. You might have had Bhagwan's darshan for any number of years in Prashanthi Nilayam, but it is very special to see him in Vrindavan. And similarly, who have seen him in Kodaikanal will say that, oh, you have missed. That is nothing what you have seen in Parthi and Vrindavan. You should see Swami in Kodaikanal. So every place has its own charm. And Vrindavan, especially that time in the 70s and the 80s when Swami spent so much of his time in Vrindavan, it had a charisma of its own. So continuing this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, we are in the 80s, in the mid 80s, I shared with you how the old bungalow came down and slowly the Tri Vrindavan took shape. In fact, in the coming episodes, I'm also going to share with you a very special conversation with someone who was very instrumental in the building of the Tri Vrindavan, whom Swami appointed as one of the engineers to work for him as the Tri Vrindavan took shape. So that is coming up. Today we have someone who had the chance to join Vrindavan during that period. 1985, the Tri Vrindavan is inaugurated and Brother Ravi Teja joins the Vrindavan campus as a student, and he is someone who got introduced to Bhagwan's love in this holy atmosphere of Vrindavan, and so enchanted he became with Bhagwan's love that he continued to stay on to bask in his physical proximity, and Swami filled his life with his melody. Given that brother was gifted as a musician to play the flute, he had lovely moments of physical proximity with Bhagwan, lovely moments of being with Swami, learning from Swami, playing for Swami, and those moments eternally bind him to the Lord. Even today, he continues to serve in Bhagwan's institution. In Prashantanilayam, he serves as Senior Manager, Administration and HR in the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust. But he is more known for the magic he weaves through his flute. So today, it is our opportunity, it's a blessing that Bhagwan has given us to listen to Brother Ravi Teja. In fact, I should share with you that he has come here with a very short notice. It was just late in the night yesterday that I requested brother to come and be part of this program. We were so occupied with the Aradhana Day celebrations, and brother was so kind and so accommodative to shift his work schedule and make time to share his glory. So a warm welcome to you, brother, to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you very much, Brother Bishu. It's always a pleasure to recollect the good old moments. It's always a pleasure to live in Bhagwan's memories and, you know, the wonderful chances that he has given us. So it's never a rush. In fact, I'd like to put everything aside if it has to be, you know, anything to do with Bhagwan. So I was thrilled when you called me last night, and I'm still, you know, very thrilled to recollect, and I'd be very, very happy to spend, you know, hopefully next 45 minutes or so with you to recollect and relive those wonderful, sweet moments.
So let's begin this thrill journey.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
How did it start in Vrindavan, your beautiful love story?
Well, there is, it was not as if it was a very straightforward kind of an admission that I got into BSc. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have gone through the regular procedure, you know, of writing the entrance exam and then subsequently interviews, rather a discussion and then interviews and things like that. Then I got selected. Now, in those days, both the campuses, both Puttaparthi and Vrindavan, they were offering, you know, all the faculties, okay, in the sense BSc, BA, BCom.
So
they
you
were
offered in both the campuses.
Yes, you could actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also had, you know, an opportunity to choose which campus we wanted to be in, and it was heard at that point of time that, you know, Bhagwan was not visiting Vrindavan for whatever reason it is. And so, and, you know, we all know that he's a Parthivasa, so we've heard so many things. And so we wanted to join just the Puttaparthi campus. And majority of us...
It was a lull period of Vrindavan.
So yes.
Not visited for some...
Yes.
After the inauguration of Tri Vrindavan.
I guess so. Maybe because of the construction process that was happening, or for whatever reasons best known to Bhagwan, of course. Swami did not visit almost for about 18 months. 3 months or so. Mm-hmm. And that was a time when, you know, we were actually inducted in as students. So we, majority of us have chosen to stay in Puttaparthi. Mm-hmm. And we opted for Puttaparthi. And, but then, it just so happened that since there were not many takers for Vrindavan, mm-hmm. Swami instructed the authorities to actually choose some names. And then Swami personally, apparently Swami mm-hmm. chose some names and said, okay, let all these boys go there to Vrindavan.
Okay.
So I was, fortunately, unfortunately, was one among them. And I'd say unfortunately because at that particular point of time...
It seemed like that.
It seemed like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh, maybe Swami didn't want me to join. So that was my first ever, you know, kind of... And so
He's banishing me to...
Literally. I thought so. I thought he threw me away from this place. He didn't want even to look at me and see me. And
because
he's
not going to Vrindavan.
Exactly.
And I have come for Swami.
Right.
And he's sending me away to Vrindavan.
There you go.
And he's not going to Vrindavan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was the kind of thought process I was in. But then it just so... It turned out to be such a wonderful experience. You know, Vrindavan's day, you know, I will never ever forget. You know, they're all etched every day of the stay there. You know,
wow.
They're all etched in my heart. So much so that because after that, as you know, after we were sent, you know, we joined the course and, you know, time went on. And then it just so happened that, you know, 1985 is a very, very special year for all the devotees across the world. Yes. You know, primarily because it's Bhagavan's 60th birthday. And the celebrations in Puttaparthi happened, you know, there was such a grandeur that you could see in Puttaparthi. And lakhs and lakhs of devotees have actually attended this function here. And that was the first time even Hillview Stadium was opened. And so great celebrations happened. And then I was so fortunate that I got selected into the music group, and there was auditions of course among the students, and then I got selected to play the flute. And that particular year Swami actually allowed the boys, the music boys, to perform when the jhula was
ceremony was going on, the jhula ceremony
that particular time. So we were seated next to Bhagwan as the jhula ceremony was going on, and we were performing, rather we could get a chance to perform. In addition to that, you know, the other special thing that happened is that particular year Swami actually wrote a drama. Radha Krishna drama.
Yes.
And Bhagwan has written it, and he was the director, screenplay, you know, writer and lyricist. He was also tuning the songs, and he went on to the, you know, extent of even teaching the songs to the boys.
Wow.
And some
of
us.
You were there during all the sessions?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
I was really fortunate because Swami actually said, oh, you're a flute boy. You know, it's necessary for you to know what's going on. I guess it's more of a chance for me. Not that, you know, I was just young and I didn't really know what was happening. But the best thing that I could enjoy was to sit at his lotus feet and, you know, just press his feet and, you know, get lost into what he was actually, you know, saying and doing. He used to teach all these Radha Krishna songs to Brother Ravi Kumar, who was the senior Gopika. And, of course, S. Kumar, who was Radha, who played as Radha. And other Gopikas as well, Simon again. But then I was like, you know, the default person getting...
not doing anything interview. Major like that.
Literally. That was a great, great chance, of course. And, you know, literally for almost every day, Swami used to call them and I was, kind of queuing up. So after all that, it was like a great honeymoon period that I've enjoyed. And then subsequently, we all went back, you know. And Swami came there, I think, around December 7th or so. And that's when even the Karnataka Seva Samiti have celebrated Swami's 60th birthday celebrations for about a week or so.
Yes. So they did it again?
They did it again.
In Bangalore?
Yes. Mm. And that was a very grand celebration again. You know, it was so thrilling to be part of it as well. Because the students were given, again, an opportunity to perform, you know, give a music program in front of Bhagwan. And, you know, we were there. And so it was a great time that we were. Actually enjoyed, you know, that was awesome.
So actually joining in that year was so significant. In
very, very significant.
And very, you know, such a major celebration, and you're getting opportunity to perform.
Absolutely. Up until, say, I would say Krishnashtami or so, I was so low, so dull, you know, thinking nothing is here, why did I join? And then things started picking up from Krishnashtami of that year, you know, 1985, that's when we were all called, you know, for audition here. And then, you know, things started moving, and that's when I thought, oh, maybe I'm getting something here, I'm getting into something. So that was an exciting time. And then subsequently, as I said, you know, Swami was so wonderful that he has given so many wonderful chances as such. You know, it was a great time. And then after Swami came there, it was, you know, he probably wanted to test, you know, how the boys were behaving or how things were happening. And so maybe he wanted all of us to go through the internal churning process, you know. As he says, there is always, you know, pleasure between two pains. So we had the pleasure period. We went back to Vrindavan. We were thinking, oh, Swami is coming, so we're going to have more fun and more opportunity to be close to him. But then just so happened that after Swami came to Vrindavan, he completely, you know, avoided all the students. So much so that, you know, he even passed instructions to the authorities that we should not be allowed into the Tri Vrindavan campus. Yeah, the main campus itself. And so we were restricted to the, you know, the main gate of the hostel.
So till now you have not seen Bhagwan's Tri Vrindavan residence?
Up until then, no. No, we were not allowed. And so we would just go up to the gate and then, you know, look at the building from distance and then do namaskar and then go off to our colleges and that's it and nothing more. And the closest thing that we could have is, you know, to go to Krishna statue in Sairam Shed, as you just mentioned, and, you know, pray to Lord Krishna and then go to our colleges or get into our routines. But then we couldn't really go into Tri Vrindavan campus up until then. And so Swami was kind of upset, I would say, with the boys, and so he didn't want to talk. He was not looking at us, you know. Normally, what you know, that's not the case, right? I mean, we all know that Swami takes all the boys very close and, you know, talks to them, spends a lot of time with the boys. And but then that time it was different, and it was a moment for all of us to, you know, step back and, you know, think as to what we have got. Yeah, it's more of a reflection time, I would say, for us to, you know, kind of reflect on ourselves and introspect and think as to what we should do to get close to Bhagawan and what wrong we have done so that we can correct ourselves and then move on. So that was the time Swami has given us, you know, kind of tough times for us. And then subsequently, we all had a chance to somehow surround Swami when he was actually going towards Sairam Shed for darshan. So, and then pray to him, pray for mercy. And then Swami was so gracious. Later on, he kind of forgave all of us. He's forgiven. And then it was great. After that, slowly, you know, we were all allowed to come inside the Tri Vrindavan. And thereon, in fact, what was supposed to be a very short trip of Bhagawan, you know, for Karnataka state people to celebrate 60th birthday, Swami was supposed to, I would say, kind of go back to Puttaparthi. But then Swami stayed on for almost a couple of months or so. I think more than 2.5-3 months at that particular time. So
Jan, Feb, March, Swami was...
Yes. Yeah, that was a great time. And then after we were allowed into Vrindavan, we were just about 90 boys, you know, a very small number compared to the numbers that we see today in a university. So We were allowed inside, you know, the Tri sessions. That's when they all started. By the way. Yeah.
So you were there when the first
sessions started. Oh yes. Wow. So I even remember initially, you know, we were all told that we should go in a very disciplined manner and then go slowly line by line, you know. There, you know, these days they have kept a jhula there in the Tri Vrindavan, but earlier it was just a normal chair, you know, for Bhagwan, and Swami would sit in the chair and, you know, we would all go and sit around Swami. So first few days we didn't even know how, you know, what we should be doing. So as we were allowed, we would sit about, you know, maybe about 2 or 3 feet away from Bhagwan, Bhagwan's chair, and then sit in a orderly fashion in a row, and then in a few rows behind, and then that's how we were all seated. And then after Swami would get in, you know, once the boys would go, then later Swami would allow all the VIPs to go in, and then Swami would get inside. And then after he would get in, he would sit and then says, "Boys, come closer. You know, Swami would allow and encourage all of us to get closer to him. And that's when he would say, okay, somebody would catch his feet and then start pressing his feet. Another would, you know, hold Swami's hand. And that's how it all started. And then once we realized that Swami was actually allowing us closer, that's when we started going closer and closer physically as well. And then the time came when maybe, I would say about a week or two later, we started rushing in. And you know, there are so many stories about it, right? It was a great time. You know, Swami would come out of the door, stand aside and say, "Boys," and that's it. That wink or just that word was enough for us to just make a dash into the Tri and get, you know, sit as close as possible to Bhagwan's chair. You know, that was the primary objective, and be very close to him. And we used to have wonderful, wonderful sessions, you know, great sessions in Tri. I mean, as always, you know, incomparable. And it was more like a very private interview session with Bhagwan, right? And You know, there were times when Swami would call an elderly VIP to speak or share his experiences. Sometimes Swami himself would speak, or sometimes he would ask, you know, some of the boys to, you know, just sing out of the blue, or even, you know, he would even make fun of somebody. You know, for example, I, you know, as you just mentioned, I got introduced as playing flute, and, you know, Swami used to call me flute boy.
Mm-hmm.
So one particular day, Swami actually called me and they said, "Hey, flute boy." Then music boys were kind of sitting a little away from Bhagwan's chair. Excuse me, because we need to have the harmonium next to us, the tablas and all that stuff.
Mm.
We didn't have the real great opportunity of pressing his feet and being very, very close to Bhagwan. So he looked at me and he said, "Hey, music boy, hey, flute boy, sing something."
Sing something?
Yes. Mm. Now, I'm glad you actually harped on that word a little more. The reason is because in Telugu, you know, you say, "Oka paata paadu."
Mm.
Oka paata paadu can be you sing a song, right?
Mm.
In some areas, you know, for playing, you know, they use this word patapadu, padu, right? And so, since Swami said, "Sing something," I never sang, in fact, never sang in front of Swami. Because I used to sing bhajans in the foyer, that's different, but never in front of Bhagwan. And so I was, for a moment I was lost, and then I thought, okay, maybe, you know, here is a chance for me. And so I told Brother Shailesh to put the Shruti one madhyam, and then I started off, "Nee kondaku neeve." There's a famous Ghantasala song, you know, he sings in praise of Lord Venkateshwara. As soon as I started, Swami quickly, you know, he literally shouted, I would say even yelled and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, and then looking at his reaction, I was so stunned. I was like, "What happened?
What happened?
God,
what did I do?"
And then there was a fraction of, you know, silence, you know, so much that, you know, I was wondering what happened. And then Swami said, "Padu, flute lo padu, not sing."
And that's it. Through your flute.
Exactly. Sing through your flute. And that's when everybody burst out into laughter. And then Swami himself, you know, so it was a great fun moment, of course. And then later, of course, I did play a song or two. But, you know, we used to have great sessions. In fact, one particular time, Swami literally asked me to sing. And when I picked up my flute, he said, no, padu. So I actually sang a song in front of Swami too. So he could do that. Yeah. You know, he would.
He always likes to catch us completely unprepared.
Unprepared,
yes. The most unexpected thing.
Oh, yes. In fact, Vrindavan was, like I said, you know, it is etched in my heart primarily because, you know, that's where I started really enjoying, you know, the divinity aspect of Bhagwan and great times, primarily because I would say, you know, just one experience comes to my mind. As I said, you know, Swami actually asked the boys to enact this Radha Krishna drama, and the play went off well, very, very well, you know, during 68th birthday, they all have performed, and then Swami, in fact, praised all the boys who participated. You know, they were PhD scholars down to, you know, primary school kids, you know, everyone was part of it, you know, a huge group. After that, we were all so lost into that, you know, every day we used to have music practices, and every day Swami would come to the Institute auditorium to see how the practice is happening, and then he would make improvements and make suggestions, and then one day he would call us and then show what kind of saris are there. And, you know, it was a complete involvement from all of us, and Bhagwan himself, in spite of, you know, being, you know, so much happening all around, you know, 60th birthday, as I mentioned,
mega,
you know,
celebration.
It was a mega celebration. Swami was into so many, doing so many things, personally looking into every aspect. At the same time, he would actually give his 100% even in, you know, these practice sessions. And after all of that, so I, you know, I came back, you know, from my point of view, I was just kind of missing all the fun and, you know, all the closeness that we all enjoyed. And so one particular day, I was actually lost so much. In fact, I was missing Bhagwan. I was just singing this one of these songs that Bhagwan has composed in Radha Krishna itself. Daya Radha Radha Pai, Krishna Dayale Daya Radha Pai. So this is one simple song that Swami has composed in that, you know, there were 14 songs actually Swami has composed. And this is one of them, very short song. So I was just thinking of this and I was singing this to myself, and I was kind of low. And I just
because
stepped out of...
It means that, you know,
don't you have compassion on me?
Exactly, exactly.
Are you not exactly. having any mercy on me?
Exactly.
That's what Radha is
Radha
praying.
Is praying for.
Yeah. Pining for Krishna, thinking
exactly.
about Krishna.
Exactly.
You're also feeling that kind of
I was really missing Swami so much so that, you know, I thought, you know, let me just step out of the hostel main building. And then I went up to Lord Krishna's statue. I was roaming around. I was singing this to myself. There was nobody else next to me. Then after some time, I kind of collected myself and composed, and then I got back to hostel and got into my routine, and I completely forgot about this. Later, as I said, you know, Swami came on December 7th, and then he was there for a few months, actually 2-3 months or so. And one particular day, you know, in fact, Swami just walked up. He came straight to me. I was sitting with a letter in front of me. He came straight up to me, and with a very mischievous smile, and he was looking at me and making face. He was saying, Dayarada. He was nodding his head. Oh. Dayarada. He sang. He was singing to himself. Wow. And then he was looking at me with a mischievous smile. And he walked up to me. And I was so stunned. You know, wow. I was like...
What a moment, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Where is he not there, right?
I mean, it shivers down your spine when you think about it.
Also. Literally. I mean, all you need is maybe that sincere... Maybe that
just
particular
one
point of
moment
time.
Of, you know, I think that's the most beautiful thing about God, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you might have done so many things during a day, but one moment when you have sincerely thought about it.
Exactly.
He's taking only that thing.
True.
Only that thing he's taking and he's reflecting.
That is so sweet of him, actually. Mm. That's true. Mm. That's true. So, that was a great thing. And then he said, he didn't say anything after that. In fact, he came up to me, he just sang that and then moved on. And, you know, so wonderful Lord he was.
So that was, I mean, probably that was one moment where even though perhaps you knew that Swami is God, but you really experienced that. Right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, what it is to be God. And
true.
Swami, that Swami who
very
knows
true.
Everything and who is there at everywhere at all times.
Oh, yes. I mean, there's nothing he doesn't know after all. He's the one who's there in every cell, every, you know, part and parcel of this particular creation, his own creation after all. It's a great feeling to be.
And these experiences go a long way when it happens at that impressionable
true.
Age, isn't
true.
It?
True, very true. Yeah, majority of these experiences are actually etched in my heart, you know, like I mentioned. In fact, there's one other occasion where, you know, I was sitting in the front row in front of those days. What used to happen is we were allowed, just before going to college, we were allowed to go sit in front of the main building of Thrai Vrindavan on the main road. Mm. And, you know, once Swami comes out, gives darshan, and then goes towards Sairam shed, you know, for giving darshan to the devotees, then Swami would actually say, he would, you know, kind of beckon the boys and say, okay, now you all go to college. So that's how the routine used to be. Now, one particular morning, you know, I think it was a Sunday or so, because we were not actually asked to go to college that day. I don't remember the day exactly, but then we stayed on. And Swami came out for giving darshan. And then I was sitting in the front row, fortunately, and I gave a letter to Swami. Swami took it, didn't speak or didn't say anything. He went right behind us. In those days, you know, the VIPs used to stand behind the boys. You know, there were 2 or 3 rows of boys. And then behind the boys, the VIPs would stand in and, you know, have Bhagavan's darshan. And so Swami went straight up to one of the elderly devotees. He was talking to the person. And as he went behind us, so we all turned backwards. And then, you know, we could see Swami's back. And as Swami put his hands behind and was standing majestically. And, you know, he was talking there. And slowly what happened was, you know, those days, again, I'm not sure if those trees are still there. There are certain trees, you know, which have very, very small leaves. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of those the trees. Mm-hmm. But a very small leaf, you know, slowly glided, you know, mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. air. And then slowly came and rested itself on Bhagavan's crown,
oh.
on Swami's hair.
Uh-huh.
And it was so soft and subtle, very, you know, soft breeze was going on. I think it was a dry leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And... So just a flash of thought, you know, came by my mind. And I just thought, oh, wow, what a fortunate leaf this is. That's all. Just a flash. Mm. And then quickly my thoughts changed. You know, I was just enjoying, you know, Swami's darshan. And that's all. Few moments later, not too long, maybe just less than a minute or so, Swami quickly turned again towards the boys, again looked at me, and he said, not the leaf.
you are fortunate.
Oh my God. He said that?
He said that. You are, in English, you are fortunate, not the leaf. He said this and then took out the leaf from his hair and then came to me. He threw it like that. I was sitting down, you know, squatting down. He threw it down. I was expecting a leaf to fall, but actually guava, you know, jamun, you know, that fell on my lap.
Oh, it's in the air it transformed.
Yeah.
Dry maybe in his big green fist. Fruit.
Yeah. Maybe in his fist. But
oh my God.
Look at that. You know, thoughts. Just a flashing thought. And then he says, it's not the leaf or not the creation, not anything else. That's the message that we all get, right? I mean, we are in his presence. Wow. And we are the real fortunate ones sitting in his presence and having the ability to understand his real divine nature, right?
Wow, amazing.
So that
I think, but there was that pure thought, you know, that true. Leaf is so fortunate.
Yes. At least,
and how yes. so sweetly and swiftly Swami responded.
Very true. Wow. Very true. I mean, it seemed as if he was not, nobody was bothered. I mean, I don't know who else thought about this, but it seemed as though he was just talking to the elderly devotee. But then it was so sudden again, like I said, he just turned and then took out the leaf and threw it down.
And like every thought.
Yes. Yes.
Is something that he is transparent to him.
Absolutely.
It's transparent to him.
Very true. That's the greatest lesson. I mean, as a young kid, I got in those days. I mean, Swami used to chide us, you know, oh, they're bad boys, bad thoughts, you know, things like that. So the best way to be with Bhagwan and get and enjoy his proximity is to kind of be completely open to Swami and share everything to Swami. In fact, I used to make it a habit to write letters. You know, in fact, every day I would give a letter to Swami as to what thoughts I had, you know, whether
everything.
Good or bad.
Oh.
I would just, you know, kind of a submission to Bhagwan.
Wow.
And, you know, much later, of course, after I completed my MBA and after Swami actually, you know, put us in Gokulam, some of my classmates, in Gokulam, in one of those interviews, Swami was actually mentioning, you should treat God. In fact, yesterday when brother, you know, some of you were actually depicting this friendship with God,
yes,
you know, in the Navavida Bhakti program that happened, it kind of got stuck in my mind as well. Primarily because, so what Swami said on that particular day is that, you know, it's best to be, you know, to share everything with God and imagine God as your friend and make him sit next to you. You know, imagine that he's actually sitting next to you and keep sharing every moment, everything with him. Everything, literally, whether you are at work or talking or doing something or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you know, think that, you know, Swami is physically sitting next to you and keep sharing everything. Now, there are multiple benefits for this. One is that you're talking to Swami, which means you are actually feeling his presence,
yes.
right? Which is itself, in itself is a great thing. Two, when you're talking something, you will be very careful, or you're sharing something, you'll be very careful not to do or think even bad,
yes.
right? Leave alone, you know, yes. anything bad, you know, Swami is sitting next to you, yes. dare not do anything bad or think anything bad. And what more? You know, you're offering yourself every thought, word and deed, everything
and
to Swami.
And your heart becomes light. You have offered everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you always constantly feel his presence. And that is exactly what Swami is saying. Just imagine. It can be just a mental imagination, but just imagine that Swami is sitting next to you. Even when you're working or in a discussion or a meeting or wherever you are. Keep sharing to Swami. Swami, I'm doing this. Swami, I'm saying this. Swami, I'm going to talk like this. I'm, you know, thinking like this. Keep saying that to Swami. And you will, over a period, what can happen is that you will start actually doing only the best things, only good, and you'll behave the best possible way. And everything, after all, becomes an offering that you are making to Bhagwan. So, it is like such a simple solution,
yeah.
you know.
I mean, he anyway knows everything.
He does. He
it's
does.
Better you tell it.
right.
In the manner that you want him to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a great experience, of course, like when he said that you are fortunate. Yes, I mean, after all,
wow.
you know, being born as humans, you know, we are all really fortunate to be his contemporaries, to be able to see him and experience the joy of being close to him and, you know, serve him.
I mean, such life-changing moments, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yes. Many, many instances. In fact, there's one more that comes to my mind, you know, another kind of experience where you know, he shows his, not just his omnipotence, but also omniscience, and he's beyond everything, you know. Let me just say it. Again, you know, one particular morning, Swami came out. As I said, I used to continuously write letters to Swami, and, you know, that particular morning, not that he used to take every letter of mine. You know, what I used to do is, I would just write a letter in the morning, and then if he doesn't pick it up, I would just throw it away. Uh-huh. And then write a fresh letter next morning, and okay. Then I would take it.
So every day's happenings, you write it?
I would
and
write.
That day, if you get the chance to give, give it?
Yes.
Otherwise, just write.
Just write, yeah.
But every day, it's a fresh letter.
Every day, it's a fresh letter.
But I think the whole writing would have been such a nice sadhana.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I used to kind of imagine as well. When I'm writing it down, you know, I'm actually offering it to Swami. You know, I'm actually explaining this to Swami.
So you used to feel that way and write?
I used to kind of think along those lines. I don't know. Bhagawan only knows, you know, whether it is coming from heart or mind. But one particular morning, I wrote a letter, and then, you know, I gave it to Swami, and again, I was fortunate that, you know, Swami has taken that letter. Now, after picking up the letter, he didn't say a word. He just walked past, gave darshan, picked up a few more letters from the boys, and then moved on and went out of the Vrindavan, you know, Tri Vrindavan main building area, and then went out to give darshan to the devotees sitting in the Sai Ram shed. And Swami went out, you know, it was, you know, almost for about 30 minutes or so, Swami went around, took a lot of letters from those devotees, and then after some time, he returned. Now, when he returned, he had a bunch of letters in his left hand, you know, maybe about 30, 40 or so, I'm sure many of us would have seen, you know, when he holds those letters like that, you know, between his thumb and, you know, the four fingers.
And they say actually you should try and do it. It's not that easy because you pack so many letters between his fingers.
Yes. So difficult. He had so many, and, you know, and then slowly he was gliding and then walking towards us again. And many times he would actually go past us and then go directly into the interview room. But that day he chose to actually come by the boys again. So again, it was a great chance. And since I was sitting in the front row, I thought, okay, let me have Pad Namaskar also. You know, that was an opportunity. And Swami came to me, didn't say a word. He just picked up one particular letter from the middle of those bunch, you know, from that bunch. Mm-hmm. Picked it up and then just threw it on my lap. Mm-hmm. And then walked away. Didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. It happened very quickly, and so by the time I realized what happened, you know, I looked down and then looked at my lap and picked up the letter, Swami was already, you know, gone. He actually approached the main door of Vrindavan by then. And then I realized that it was actually my own letter which I had given to Bhagwan.
Oh. Yeah. Oh my God. Same letter.
It's the same letter. It's the same letter, meaning, you know, I always put it in an envelope. And so it was the envelope, you know, that with my envelope. Handwriting. Yeah, the same envelope. Mm. So for a moment, I was aghast. I was really, you know, completely depressed. You know, depressed because I thought, you know, maybe I've written something wrong or I've done something wrong, that maybe I have actually, you know, presented something in a very, very bad way.
So
whatever
it is. He accepted it on second thoughts. He gave it back.
He gave it back. That's basically how it is. First of all, to even imagine that, you know, with him holding 50, 60 letters in one hand, just picking up the exact same letter, that itself is a miracle. You know, you should say that. Yeah. And then he threw it. And then, of course, my thoughts were like this, you know, that I was actually so low, so down. So I was waiting for the next opportunity to quickly rush back to hostel and to check and read my letter to check as to what wrong I have written or what actually I did. And Swami didn't say anything. Swami didn't even look back. He went
past. But was he angry or?
No, nothing. No expressions.
No expressions.
He was just walking past and then he was taking some letters, you know, smiling and blessing. You know, that was there. But then he went on. And then after the darshan was over, you know, I rushed back to my room, back in the hostel, quickly opened the envelope. Imagine, there was no letter that I have written to Bhagwan. My letter was not there in that envelope.
Your letter was not there?
My letter was
But it's your cover.
It was the envelope that I gave.
Yes.
But instead of my letter, there was a small piece of paper on which, you know, in Swami's hand, there was writing, you know, Tej. It was written in Telugu. I'll try to translate it roughly. It said, what you have presented is very good, you know. I am happy with the contents. Here is the prasadam that I am giving you for Ugadi. Okay, stitch clothes for your for Ugadi.
Wow.
And there were 500 rupee notes in that envelope.
Oh my God.
Can you believe it?
Oh my God.
I was so stunned. I mean, just impossible to imagine that.
He will take you from the nadir of depression to the heights of ecstasy.
There you are. Oh my gosh. I have goosebumps even actually recollecting those moments even now. I'm telling you.
You would have opened the letter with all tension. What did I do?
Literally. I was almost in tears, you know, being emotional I am. You know, I was like wondering, Swami, what did I do? Maybe I would have cried on the way to hostel rushing back. But then when I opened it, you know, it was...
tears of joy now.
Absolutely. I was so wonderstruck. I was lost. I was really lost. Oh, I was thinking, my God, what is this, Swami? And then imagine, now Swami actually went out and then, you know, came back. There was no time physically, you know, speaking for all of us to do all this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to open the envelope and then keep 500 notes and write a
note. I mean, that is impossible.
Impossible. I mean, oh my gosh, that is Bhagwan. Kalatita, you could say, you know. Kalatita, and he can go beyond time.
Time and space mean nothing. He'll do anything literally. For your joy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do anything so that you develop that connect with him.
Very
do
true.
Do anything so that you learn how to stick to him.
True.
Do anything so that you develop that friendship with him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very true. Very true. Great moment, of course. And then, yeah, I mean, it was, I still kept that note with me, of course. Needless to say that, but, you know, and, you know, very sweet of him that he said there was Ugadi festival coming up and here is a prasadam, you know, for you to stitch
what
clothes.
What a way so to begin your Ugadi, the new year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every moment with Swami was a Ugadi moment, was a new moment.
True.
A new moment.
Very true. Very true. In fact, as I was saying, in thrice sessions also, you know, many, many occasions where Swami would actually pick on the boys to speak up suddenly, as you said, you know, he would just say, you know, extempore you speak or extempore you play something. You know, one such occasion Swami said, you play something on the flute. So for a moment, I didn't expect Swami to ask me because we were all, I mean, it was like, it was just a normal day, and so if it was a prepared moment, I would have probably prepared for some songs. And then I was just sitting there, and they said, "Hey, flute boy, play something." So since we were fresh out of, you know, Radha Bhakti and all that stuff, all those songs were sitting on my mind. And I thought I should play one of those songs because Swami wrote those songs. And yes. Like I said, Swami got himself involved. Even physically, you could see that Swami was actually teaching the songs. And then every word of it, since Brother Ravi Kumar and S. Kumar brother, you know, they their mother tongue is not Telugu, although they speak very good Telugu. So those days, Swami would actually explain the meaning of every word.
So that the pronunciation is right.
Not just the pronunciation. The feelings, the emotions that you're supposed to show, not just in your voice, but also on your face,
yes.
while enacting that particular song. Yes. You know, Swami would actually say that or do that.
Enact
in front of them and then saying, so great level of, you know, involvement from Bhagwan. So while, you know, that happened, so I thought, you know, these songs are very, very close to Swami's heart as well. So, of course, I mugged up all of them, not just mugged up, but actually we all knew it by heart. And
so many rehearsals in songs.
Yeah. And they're very sweet songs, very short and sweet songs. And so I thought I'll play, you know, one of those songs. I think it was on March 22nd, 1987 or so. And Swami said, okay, play something. And then there was another brother who also used to play flute in those days. Swami said, both of you play. So we thought, you know, best would be to play Radha Krishna songs so that we both know the songs. So we actually chose to play a couple of them. So with your permission, you know,
please.
Maybe just one of them. Just recollect and... Yes.
Sure.
To be honest, again, I have not really played that song in the recent past, but I'd really love to relive those moments. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So this is one song where Radha and Gopikas are actually expecting Lord Krishna to return to Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so Radha leads this particular group, and then they are all dancing, waiting for Lord Krishna. And as they are putting these rangolis, the, you know, various designs on the floor. And, you know, they're all excited about Lord Krishna's coming. And then they sing, Repe Vasta Danta Gopaludu. Lord Krishna is coming tomorrow, dear ones. Mape Vasta Danta Govindudu. Then, Repu Mapulavachu Gopaludu. Mapalle Kostadu Govindudu. Manare Palle Kostadu Govindudu. So, that's how the song goes. Nanda Kumarude. గోపాలుడు సుందర రూపుడే గోవిందుడు మన అందరి దేవుడే ఆ దేవుడు రేపే వస్తాడంట గోపాలుడు. వెరీ సింపుల్, వెరీ స్వీట్ ట్యూన్స్, యు నో దట్స్ హౌ సాంగ్ యూస్ టు టీచ్. అండ్ దెన్ ద బాయ్స్ వుడ్ సింగ్. అండ్
దిస్ ఇస్ మోర్ దెన్ 30 ఇయర్స్ అగో. యు రిమెంబర్ ఇట్?
ఓ మై గాడ్, రిమెంబరింగ్ ఇట్ ఫర్ మీ ఇట్స్ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ జస్ట్ హ్యాపెన్ యెస్టర్డే. ఐ విష్ ఇట్ హ్యాపెన్ యెస్టర్డే టు. But wow. It has, and Swami, like I said, Swami has composed more than, you know, 14 songs, mm-hmm. and majority of them are all, you know, Radha's pining for Lord Krishna, and such very short but very sweet songs, and very, very, you know, great.
I think the, during that whole drama, you know, even though on the face of it, it was as if Bhagavan was training each one for the drama, but actually Swami was cultivating each heart. Isn't
yes.
it? I think as you are involved with Bhagwan, living with Bhagwan during that period, and constantly he's telling you about the stories of Radha, stories of Gopikas, and
yes.
and you cannot but not allow the vibrations of those moments to touch you and transform you.
Absolutely. 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 His way of, you know, training and molding each one of us, you know, he's got his own way. Each one of us have probably, you know, many, many volumes to, you know, talk about our own experiences. But then his way of molding each one, you know, he kind of tailor makes it to everyone's requirement, and then, you know, chooses to mold them and then get them into his path, and then get us to kind of grow internally as well, you know, spiritually. That's so true. That's so true. In fact, end of that particular session on that day, Swami made us play for about 40, 45 minutes or so. And so we ended up playing all the 14 songs. It was so sweet. And then we ran out of those options too. In fact, we were thinking, because we both had to play together in tandem. And so we thought, okay, we'll play some of the 60th birthday songs that we all performed on the stage, you know. So we have played, and end of it, Swami said, Bagundi Kani, you all need some practice, you know, he said. And then so sweet of him, you know, he quickly created the two bracelets for both of us.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And, you know, gave me, put one on mine and another on the other brother's.
Wow.
Hand as well. So music. It was so sweet. Yeah.
The power of music to win the Lord's heart.
I don't know. It's he who has given us this, yes. right? I mean, yes. it's his yes. credit. You know, the entire 100% credit goes to Swami. Yeah. In fact, Vrindavan, like I said, you know, is another place which, you know, has given me so many wonderful chances, as you just mentioned. You know, that's the place which actually started molding me, you know, internally. And, you know, I would say that, I mean, I give complete credit to Vrindavan and my stay there. The place was so, you know, great. The ambience was so great that, you know, it was easy for the boys to tune to Swami, get tuned to Swami, and, you know, be in that frequency.
Fertile ground.
Yeah, literally.
To
literally
fine tune yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Towards Swami.
And then talking about chances, like I said, you know, there were many that he has given. In fact, I would say, 1986, Swami has actually inaugurated Sai Shruti building in Kodaikanal.
Yes.
Right? And so that particular year, Swami chose some of the, in fact, most of the boys were research scholars. Research scholars, Swami had chosen them to go along with him and for the inauguration of Thrive Vrindavan. So,
Sai Shruti.
Sai Shruti, inauguration of Sai Shruti in Kodaikanal. And it just so happened that Swami looked at me and he said, oh, you are fortunate, so join us. So, yeah, he said this time in Telugu, of course. Chala goppa avakasam neeku, chala adrushtam neeku. That's what he said. Because that particular trip, like I said, Swami chose only the research scholars. And I was fortunate.
Your flute carried
you
through.
There you go, yeah. So I'm always indebted to my, you know, flute, the instrument. And, you know, Swami said, you are the youngest, but still I'm taking you. It's a great chance, you know. So he took me there. So Vrindavan created that chance for me. And we could all accompany Bhagwan. And there again, he gave so many wonderful experiences as well. So it was a great time that, you know, we had. And so nice, you know, Kodaikanal trip was so great. And initially, we all prayed to Swami that we should go to Ooty. And then Swami, initially, although he said no, but then he agreed. And then we went to Ooty for a day and then stayed there. And from there, we went to Kodaikanal. And many experiences were there, in fact, I'm sure. Our brothers can even talk about them.
So Vrindavan was the launch pad for your Kodai trip.
Yeah, that was the first trip that Swami has granted to me. That's right, that's right. And then during MBA, of course, second time he had taken me, you know, and then very recently as well. But then, yes, Vrindavan, those days Swami used to drive from Vrindavan, and so we could accompany behind in the bus. So it was great, great times. Great times. And then Vrindavan also, you know, had this unique thing, you know, especially in front of Thrai Vrindavan. There was this ground behind the road. There was this ground in which there were a lot of deers, you know, antelopes and maybe, you know, bucks, and they were all kept there. And time and again, Swami would actually go to that particular compound and feed these deers. And most of the times, you know, there was this brother, Sanjeeva, who used to take care of these animals. So he would go in, and then if he goes in, the deers get close to him because he's, you know, he's a caretaker. And then other than him, if anyone else goes, you know, they would actually run away. But then when Swami goes inside, you know, they all gather there. In fact, even Sanjeeva at times, you know, gets one, you know, he keeps wondering as to how it happens. And Swami goes in, and then they all come very close to him, and then they all want to, you know, kind of be very close. And Swami feeds all of them. He used to do that. And so while feeding them, you know, Swami would say, hey, here are the deers. And then, you know, we would all be watching, you know, on the other side of the compound, you know, through the grills, and say, here are the deers and here are the deers. Both are deers. These are dear to me. You know, the boys are dear to me. And these are the deers, you know, which are also close to me, if dear to me, you know. So Swami would kind of
play those words.
You know, talking on the, you know, hilarious moments that we've had, actually. You know, there was one occasion, I think, again, this was in 87 itself, just before, you know, April, our exam started, actually. You know, a couple of days before that, Swami suddenly, it seemed as though Swami was very, very upset with the boys, and then he stopped talking. And in fact, stopped talking to the boys, coming close to the boys physically, and then he called one day, you know, we were all seated on the main road in front of the Thrai's Vrindavan. And Swami called Professor Narendra. He was our principal at that time. Professor Narendra. And then he said, now I'm going to talk to the boys. You translate. So instantly, you know, there was no mic. And, you know, we were just 90 of us. And we were not allowed to go into the Thrai Vrindavan. I mean, the Thrai session, you know, into the hall of Thrai. We were sitting on the road itself. And Swami said, oh, you know what? Me kosam nenu chala gali medalu kattukunnanu. I built castles in the air, you know, thinking that you'll all come up to, you know, my expectations, but you have proved that you have actually, all my expectations have crashed, and I'm so unhappy that you're all not really living up to your, you know, whatever you're supposed to be doing, not living up to my expectations. So Swami went on like that, and he said, the, you know, you're supposed to be good kids, but you don't seem to be. You don't seem to learn what I'm trying to teach you. You don't seem to really follow the path that I have actually laid down for you. And so Swami went on like this for about 10, 15 minutes or so. And then he said, hereafter, you all don't need to come into Vrindavan. Don't need to have my darshan. Go away. Saying so, Swami just walked back into Thrai Vrindavan.
Oh my God.
It just happened all of a sudden. And then we were all wondering, oh my gosh, what happened? And We didn't know how to react. And then we went up to the elders, some of us, and then asked them if something, you know, wrong happened, and if we did anything, you know, that really
made Swami upset, and then why Swami is unhappy with the boys. And they said, well, Swami is unhappy, you have to make up to him, and then we don't know what you all do, but you have to pray to him, and that's all. That's the only way to please Swami. There's no other way. There's no shortcut to reach God. You know, you have to pray to him and then please him through your, you know, purity and sincerity. That's it. So we were all taken aback, and we went back to our hostel. For the day, next, you know, one and a half days or so, we bunked our college, all of us mass bunking. Mm-hmm. And we sat in the, you know, bhajan hall, which was also our prayer hall.
But this was more important.
Yeah, naturally, right? We're all here for Bhagwan. The whole life is for Bhagwan.
Even if you go to college, I think you cannot concentrate.
No. And the lecturers, of course, the principal himself was very, very unhappy because we were bugging college. He went and reported that to Bhagwan, I believe, later. But then, anyway, it didn't matter to us. You know, what mattered was most was
to get back Swami.
Get back Swami and get back closer to him. Mm. And so we all sat, and then, you know, some of us said, let's all sing bhajans and then, you know, pray to Swami from our hearts. And then I'm sure he's a Hridayavasi. Mm. And so he will surely listen to, you know, our prayers. So I remember some of us singing, you know, Anadha Bandho Sai Prabho Aparadha Kshama Karo Sai Prabho. And, you know, we all sang bhajans, and many of us have really, broken down. And then we all prayed to Swami very hard. In fact, many of us didn't want to have lunch and evening snacks and things like that. And things were cooked and kept aside. And then later we got a message from the mandir saying that no, boys must eat food. Otherwise, Swami will be very unhappy.
Oh.
So by force, we were asked to eat our lunch, and so
no mood to eat.
Yeah, no mood. And, you know, we were also upset. That day passed. Nothing happened. We were not allowed to go into Trai. We were lost. And so the next day, same thing, you know. So we thought, you know, this time we will do bhajans continuously until Swami calls us.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it can be a continuous akhanda bhajan or whatever it is, but we'll keep doing. Or if not, if we run out of bhajans or if we run out of singers or whatever, then we'll just chant Om Sri Sai Ram. Or
in the prayer hall.
In the prayer hall itself.
Together.
But we'll not, yes, together. We will not really do anything else. So that was the decision that we all have taken. And so we sat there, and then we kept doing bhajans, and bhajans went on, and very loudly, so loudly that, you know, we thought, you know, maybe somebody's voice can be heard by Bhagwan physically, you know, because those days again, you know, the hostel building was there, and then next to it, not much of activities, next to it, the Kalyana Mandapam, and then Trai Brindavan, right?
If you shout really loud,
it can be heard.
The noise can...
Oh, yeah, the noise levels reach, can... Yeah. Because Swami's room was actually towards Swami, towards the boys' hostel itself.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, that was the hope as well, you know. So, those who could shout at the top of their voice...
Metaphysically as well as physically.
Exactly. So that was going on. That day, full morning, you know, from after Suprabhatam onwards. Suprabhatam we did, and after Suprabhatam we continued on and on. And then, you know, subsequently, maybe towards the evening or so, Swami sent word through the warden. Those days, I think Mr. Sandeep Shastri was the warden. And one Mr. P.S. Rao, you know, together they were sharing the responsibility of wardenship. And so they came, and they said Swami was, you know, calling all of you. So we went, and then we were not allowed inside the Trai Brindavan. Mm-hmm. And then initially we were seated at the main road, and then we were there. Then Swami sent word after some time. We all had to wait for more than, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes, which seemed like, you know, ages for us. Mm-hmm. Because we were waiting for something to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we were all wondering, oh my God, tensed. Is Swami going to talk, not talk, or throw us out of the campus, or throw out of the college? Mm-hmm. We didn't know what to expect. And then we didn't know what was coming. And then the doors of the Trai Brindavan were closed, and VIPs, they would come out and go, you know, go in, and then we knew that Swami was right there in the hall. We knew because, you know, people were going in, taking instructions or talking to Swami and then coming out, but then we didn't know, you know, what was happening about us, and we were just wondering what was going to happen. After what seemed like ages, you know, maybe half hour, 40 minutes passed, Swami slowly asked the boys to come in. And this time, with discipline. You know, no rushing, no dashing.
Yeah, now we are very, very cautious.
Yes, needless to say, it was, you know, we were extremely cautious. Mm. Low, dumb, you know, down, you know, with long faces. We all very slowly, you know, carefully, cautiously, we walked in, you know, one by one. Mm. And then Swami was sitting on the chair. He was serious. He was not smiling. There were a few other VIPs sitting on the rear side, on the back side.
on the chairs, and then we all walked in slowly, very quietly. There was no noise whatsoever. And boys even wondered if they could even get close to Swami, and so they were sitting maybe, you know, 1 or 2 feet away from Bhagwan. And then we all, after everyone settled down, then Swami called Professor Narendra again. He called, and then he said, then he started talking. I know boys have not been eating. I know they have not been going to their college. I know, you know, they're all crying and praying for Swami's grace. But it is actually a time for all of them to think. You know, I've been giving them a lot of chances. Last 2 months, 3 months, I'm here. I've been giving them a lot of chances. But I want them to really understand what they are actually getting. And it's a time for them to step back and think and know the value of every opportunity that they get. And he went on like that. And then slowly he came down from that very heavy moment onwards. So he came, he said, Narendra, ivala date emi? He asked.
What is the date today?
Then we didn't know, we didn't think. And then Swami said, ivala 1st April, Swami.
He said.
And then Swami said, see, I made all the boys fools.
Oh,
that is so funny.
That is the typical Krishna.
Literally,
Krishna.
Lord Krishna, you could say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, he broke it so well. You know, it was like
he
breaking the ice.
Perfect.
With
and
perfect. Perfect.
And he made you go through that. How Krishna used to put the Gopikas into
are.
This kind
yes.
of churning, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Sweet torture.
It was, you could say that. Oh my.
Before he gives a sweet ambrosia.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's all. Then he became completely normal. And then boys, of course, became as usual, of course. You could say that. And then chances slowed on.
Wow. I mean, this is only Vrindavan.
Yeah. Yeah, such things
this is
possible.
What is quintessentially Vrindavan.
True,
is.
True. Only there, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. As you said in the beginning, you know, Puttaparthi is more like an office and Vrindavan is like a home for Bhagwan. So you could feel that proximity, you could feel the closeness and like a mother, like a father, like a real, you know, guru who's very, very close to us. And he was teaching the lessons at the same time, you know, he was so, you know, showering the love and taking
and
us
doing
so
it
close.
In such an endearing manner.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That, you know, every moment remains with you. Whenever you recollect, I think you recollect any moment, you know, there are tears, isn't it?
Yes.
And these are tears which purify you.
Yes.
Tears which instantly connect you back to him.
True. True.
Wow.
True. True.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother. I know you can go on. So many moments in Vrindavan.
Sure.
But it is just that.
Yeah, I mean, every day was a great day, of course.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I've got diaries written, you know, for many,
yes,
many
we'll
days.
Continue this.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
We can live on.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, dear listeners, so we have to continue this session with Brother Ravi Teja, but just a glimpse of what is Vrindavan. Vrindavan in the mid-80s. We just started off with how the tri-sessions used to be, and I think what you got from him today is that beauty that every tri-session packed in itself. And by Swami's grace, we'll continue this series. We'll continue to listen to many more such beautiful glories of those golden days of Vrindavan. In June, we will be celebrating 50 years of this campus, and it's really a time to relive those moments, to recreate ourselves, reliving those moments and rededicate ourselves to His work and to His love. So thank you so much. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Please do tell us how you felt about Brother Ravi Teja's experience or anything else that you want to hear from him. You can send us your message. You can WhatsApp us 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. We look forward to your comments, to your suggestions, and to your beautiful words of advice and encouragement. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.